What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike, Living Biblically by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A Voice for Lutheran Women, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
If there was a day in a Sunday in the church's calendar that makes for a lot of mischief. There's Sundays that make for a lot of mischief. Super Bowl Sunday always makes for mischief on Sunday morning. Pastors either, trying to put up the green and gold if they're Packers fans or something like that. Another one of those days that makes for mischief on Sunday morning in the American church is Mother's Day. Now, often it comes in a very subtle form, very well-intentioned form of the pastor kind of dropping all of the texts for the Sunday that he would ordinarily be preaching on, maybe even dropping all the emphasis of, well, in this case, it would have been the Easter emphasis, and just kind of giving Jesus the weekend off and making Sunday morning on Mother's Day all about mom. Now, that happens. I understand the temptation to do it. It is, as I said before, it is a mischief on Sunday morning, well-intentioned, but probably does more harm than good. Sure, mom goes away feeling great with a flower pinned to her dress and having been affirmed, which is not a bad thing at all to affirm motherhood. Motherhood is a great gift of God, but oftentimes Jesus gets overshadowed. Mom loves you more than Jesus, you might conclude, on that kind of a Sunday. Greetings, welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, May the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be reviewing a Sunday message at Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. Happens to be the third largest church in the United States. Houston seems to grow them big down there. Second to what? Probably Lakewood with Joel Osteen and someone else sitting in between. They're at Second Baptist. Senior Pastor Ed Young. Don't confuse him with his son, Ed Young Jr., who also has a pretty big church up in the Dallas area, preaching on, well, he's not preaching. He's kind of doing a talk show with some of the women from the church on Sunday morning instead of preaching. We're going to be doing that for the first hour, reviewing this message from Second Baptist in Houston, Texas, Ed Young Senior. In the second hour of the program, our regular feature, This Week in Pop American Christianity Today, Evangelical Leaders Hearing the Voice of God. Should you expect at least your pastor to hear from God on a regular basis, a message, guidance, vision, whatever it may be? We'll answer that question with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. Then, since it's Friday, we will be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's four soundbites that we have assembled from this last week's audio. We play it for you. 1, 2, 3, 4. You listen, and then you call, you email, you send us a tweet, or you go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote, and your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week live this Friday afternoon, May the 15th. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can go to our Facebook fan page, vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can, what else? Comment line, that's right. You can also, if you are listening on demand, you can add to the conversation at our comment line 24/7, 618-223-8382. Now we're going to be reviewing this message, that's what I'll call it, a message from Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, where senior pastor is Ed Young Sr., sitting down with a couple ladies from his congregation. Now, when we review sermons, good, bad, ugly, we always use the same simple three-part diagnostic. It doesn't tell you everything you need to know about what makes for a good sermon, but it does tell you what you have to know for it to be a Christian sermon, Christ-centered, cross-focused. There are other things that may be required, but this is the very bare minimum. Our three-part diagnostic is quite simple. That is, how often How often is Jesus mentioned? Why do we make that the first thing? Well, we are to preach Christ and Him crucified. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, and who better a preacher to take your model from than the Apostle Paul? I was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He preaches Christ, he says many, many times. When he talks about that gospel, it is always the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the first part of the diagnostic is, how often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally as the preacher preaches, or you hear the message in this case, and just say, is Jesus even getting mentioned here? If he is, just put a little hash mark right there on your simple running tally. Now, if Jesus is mentioned often, you can go on to the second part of the diagnostic, and that is Jesus the subject of the verbs? That sounds like a question from third grade grammar, if you took grammar in the third grade. But it's also a good question for listening to a sermon, and that is, if Jesus is mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? That is he the one doing the action of that sentence? There's a difference between someone who's the subject of the verbs, I hit my sister, I'm the subject there, talking about what I did. My sister is the direct object, she is not the subject of the verbs. There's a difference between Jesus as subject of the verbs and Jesus as, well, I love Jesus is a different statement altogether, where you are the subject of the verbs from Jesus loves you, where Jesus is the one doing the loving. Now, if Jesus is often mentioned, if he is the subject of the verbs, there is a devil in the detail, and that is, what are the verbs? Very often Jesus is the subject of the verbs, but it's a Jesus who merely helps, inspires, leaves an example, stands on the sidelines of your life like a coach. Kind of, he's told you what to do, but it's up to you to go and execute it. All he can do is root for you or give you some kind of correction, but he can't really do anything for you anymore. That's not the kind of verbs that Scripture assigns to Jesus. This is Jesus who's in there, in the game, in the action. You're listening for the verbs where Jesus lives, where he suffers, where he dies, where he rises again for you. That's the simple diagnostic of our sermon reviews. And with that said, here is Sunday's message from Second Baptist Church, the third largest church in America, pastored by Pastor Ed Young Sr. He is not going to preach this Sunday. He'll have a few introductory words. He's just going to sit down on the couch and have a conversation with some women. By the way, that raises a question. Women, what is the appeal of this for Mother's Day? What's the appeal of your pastor leaving the pulpit or the dais or wherever he does his preaching and just sitting down with a few ladies, like having coffee and talking things over? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Here is Pastor Ed Young Sr. from Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, on Mother's Day.
I think all of us know, if you've been in church for a while, that the word hallelujah is not translated in other languages. You can go anywhere in the world, any language, any dialect, and say hallelujah, and it's the same word we use, hallelujah. It is not translated. There's also another phrase. It's a diphthong. I forgot what that was in English. Maybe you have too. It's when you put letters together and it makes a sound that forms a word. And another sound, another series of two little diphthongs, I guess you would say, is mama. Mama. Mother is translated in other language and dialects, but mama. Go into the world and say mama. That culture, that language understands you're talking about a mother. It is among the first words that every child would say. We were born ma-ma. What do you think ma-ma means? What is the etymology of that? You say, well, it may mean love. It may mean whatever. It means comfort. Comfort. Isaiah 66, verse 13. Interesting phrase. It says, God is saying, I will comfort you, my children, as your mother has comforted you. In other words, God is pictured as the comforter, and we know this is the ministry, part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes as a comforter to us. And so a mama is a comfort her. And it's interesting to observe that Jesus on the cross, the third last word that he uttered, according to the Gospel of John, was concerning his mother. He said, "I thirst." He said, "It is finished." But the phrase above that, he looked from the cross, he saw his mother, Mary, and he looked at John, the beloved apostle, and said, "John, this is your mother." He comforted his mother. And he said to his mother, "I comfort you because you're under the care. I leave my comfort and care to John, my beloved apostle." So there on the cross, the last words our Jesus spoke was a word of comfort, a word of care, a word of concern for his mom. And so all the way through the Bible, the high calling of being a God-fearing mother is lifted up in every single endeavor. The one who comforts the children. I thought it'd be interesting today if we had some mothers and grandmothers, and we'd have some individuals who come and share with us.
All right, we'll take a little break here. He's going to introduce some women, bring them up and sit them down on some couches, and they're just going to have a conversation on Mother's Day. He did mention Jesus. He even mentioned Jesus on the cross. Now, apparently, what he wanted to emphasize of Jesus on the cross was not Jesus dying on the cross for you, the comfort that he gives to sinners of the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life and salvation, but how Jesus took a few minutes out of the last few minutes before he died to comfort his mother, who I guess is going to be the emphasis here. You know, he could have steered that into the preaching of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins on account of Jesus' death on the cross, but it sounds like he's going to steer it in a different direction, right back to good old mom. We'll find out when we come back, doing a sermon review of Ed Yunsinger on Mother's Day. Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues, Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal, the Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, May the 15th. We're doing a little sermon review here for the first hour of the program, a Sunday message, a Mother's Day message that Ed Young Sr. at Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, third largest megachurch in the United States, kind of handing it over to the ladies here. we heard from him before the break. He did mention Jesus. He mentioned Jesus on the cross, but he wanted to emphasize Jesus giving his mother to the Apostle John from the cross. Now, here's a great example of how, and this is a seasoned preacher, Ed Young Sr., this isn't his first rodeo when it comes to what happens on Sunday morning. The man does know how to preach the gospel. He does. He good old-fashioned kind of, well, I don't know if he's Southern Baptist, but he's a good old-fashioned gospel preacher. He does have his leanings toward, I think, the charismatic wing, but he does know how to preach the gospel. And he came close, but you see, close is, this isn't a shotgun approach where close might get you there. The gospel is a precise message of the forgiveness of sins that comforts us when Jesus is dying on the cross for us. So he's chosen the theme of comfort along with motherhood and having passed by the opportunity to give his audience of some 20,000 per week there at Second Baptist, to give his audience the true comfort of Christ and him crucified for sinners. He is settling for the lesser, it's a good comfort, but the lesser comfort of motherhood. Let's listen some more.
And so we're going to see something of these individuals as moms and those who are the product of God-fearing, loving mothers. Josie, we're going to start with you. Josie has three children. Tell us about your three guys. Tell us about your children. Your two sons and your daughter.
Okay, so we have our oldest, Ashlyn, and she's just a little graceful. You know, she's a young mom now. Then Kyle was kind of our quiet, athletic kid. And then we had Reagan.
Now, I want you to bear in mind here, just so that you don't forget, this is in church, Sunday morning, third largest megachurch in the United States. And the first thing he asks these women to talk about is their kids. Now, what mother doesn't want to talk about her kids? I'm a father. I like to talk about my children. I'm proud of them. I love them. They have, in some sense, been the center, at least humanly speaking, the center of my and my wife's lives for as long as they've been with us. This is a good subject to talk about. Is it the best thing you could talk about on Sunday morning when you got an opportunity of over 20,000 people per week in that church? Are we giving Jesus Sunday off and talking about moms and their kids instead? Do you see what I'm asking? What is the most important message, especially given the fact that Paul says, I was determined to know nothing among you. Remember what I read? I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. That sense of urgency just seems to have evaporated entirely. Jesus, you take Sunday off. We're going to talk about a couple of moms on this Sunday. Let's hear some more.
And Reagan, I would say, if he had been the first, he'd have been the only.
I understand that.
He's yours now.
I'll claim him.
So you want me to talk about my family? Well, yeah.
And your background, were you prepared to have three children? Right. Tell me about the constellation of your family.
Okay, well, I grew up in a Catholic family. I'm the 12th of 13 children.
The 12th of 13 children.
Yeah. My mom was a saint. We grew up going to church. I actually went to Catholic school, so I went to church 5 days a week. And then on Sunday morning, my dad was a real estate broker, and so he had open houses all day. So at 7:30 in the morning, we packed the family in two cars, took up the first two pews of the church, and we were there every Sunday. I actually say that I went to church more than my husband Craig did, even though his family is like Christian back to Noah, you know, all the way back to Noah. But I was a church. So in my senior year, I just began to have this yearning to know more about Jesus. And I told my mom, I'm going to go to a church. When I go to school, I'm going to go to a church that teaches the Bible. Mm. So she said, okay.
That's dangerous, isn't it? We discovered that.
She said, okay, but be careful.
If you are paying attention, there's the irony is thickening up here, right? She's talking about having been raised Roman Catholic. And this is a common thing that you hear from Roman Catholics who've left the fold of the Roman Catholic Church. They've said, you know, I eventually realized I wasn't hearing much from the Bible. And I wanted to go to a church that would teach me, that would talk about the Bible. And of course, the irony here is, here's Ed Young in one of those churches, pastoring one of those churches. And what are they not talking about? They're not talking about the Bible, much less what Jesus says is the central message of the Bible, namely him in his saving work for sinners.
So my senior year at University of Texas, I mean, my freshman year at University of Texas, a friend invited me to my first ever church retreat, which is right near Austin. So I went to that. But right when I got there, he took me over to the bench by the side of the river and literally read the four spiritual laws to me and led me to Christ. And I just didn't know. I loved and feared God my whole life in a good way, but I didn't know I needed a Savior. So my freshman year in college, I became a you know, born-again Christian. My poor family, they learned what that was. But it was awesome. And the friend that led me to the Lord ended up being my husband, Craig.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't even dating.
We were dating because he wasn't even near me, not even in the same city.
I think that's a tremendous story. Angel, let's flip to you here a little bit. Angel's mother, Bobby, had tremendous influence. How did your mother keep you in line when you had all these activities there as a teenager? What did she do? And you told me already your home was the center where your friends would go.
It was.
Why? What did she do? What was the genius there?
Well, she was very fun. She was very encouraging. She sort of had a motto that you choose happiness. And she was a happy, positive person. Encouraging, so people like to be around her, kind of a Pied Piper. Right. Everyone used our back door. You know, just everyone was welcome. It was a fun place to be. But she was strict, but she was strategic, and I didn't really figure it out. In fact, I never figured it out. My sister ended up having to clue me in that when we'd be invited to parties, things that she didn't think we should really attend, she would drum up a better deal. And I just always thought I really had bad timing. But my sister said, you didn't know she was doing that to keep you from going? No. But, you know, I'd be invited to, say, LSU to a party. And she was like, oh, God, that sounds fun. But, you know, I was thinking about maybe taking you to the beach, but you decide. And so she was very strategic.
That's a great phrase. Strict and strategic. That's a good advice for a mother. It really is. Janet, you came up in a home that your dad was not really a Christian. Your mother was. You're in a military family. Y'all were moving around everywhere. And you went
right.
To tell us about your church life.
When I was born, my dad was in the Navy. So we moved around a lot. But my dad had grown up in a Christian home. My mom as well. And my dad would tell you that he was a believer, but now he would tell you he didn't really understand what that meant.
Now, before she goes on with the rest of her story, you notice that what we've got so far is kind of an interesting story of one of these mothers' conversions after growing up Catholic. She went looking for a church that was going to teach the Bible. She's here in a church that's supposed to teach the Bible. They're not doing that. They're wasting one solid Sunday morning not talking about Jesus or the Bible, but talking about themselves. And then we got some good advice from a mother. You know, this is kind of a cross-section of what much of Pop American Christianity subsists on week after week. It's amazing that the thing survives. I don't know how it survives. Subsisting on, essentially, people talking about themselves rather than Jesus. As I say, the Christian rather than the Christ. And good advice on how to be a mother, father, whatever it may be. That is the regular fare in much of Pop American Christianity. And as I say, it's a wonder that the thing survives on this kind of diet of the self, the Christian rather than the Christ, and rather than the comforting message of Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection for us, just some good advice on how to do your everyday tasks. And you know what I want to wonder here is, could you just simply replace Ed Young Sr. with Dr. Phil? If Dr. Phil wanted, could Ed Young Sr. have said, you know, I'm not so good at this sitting on a couch talking to people. I don't do that. But you know, Dr. Phil does it every week on television. He does it better than I do. So this Sunday, since all we're going to do is talk with ladies about what it's like to be a mom, where they came from, how they grew up, let's let Dr. Phil do it. Would it be any different? In fact, let me ask you a further question. Would it be any different if I just decided to stay home from Ed Young's church on Mother's Day and watch Dr. Phil's episode that was dedicated? He probably dedicated a whole week to mothers. Most of these kind of talk shows do. And just watch it on DVR. Would I get anything different? Anything less? I'd get some good advice, some interesting stories, some touching, maybe wet my eyes a little bit with some tears, bring back some nostalgia. I'd get all that. Dr. Phil is not in business to deliver Jesus to anybody. He doesn't run a church. He runs a television talk show. And, you know, Ed Young could step down from the stage, let Dr. Phil do his job for him there, and it wouldn't be any different whatsoever.
But we moved around a lot. And Canton, North Carolina was where they had grown up. That was home base. And when we went to visit my grandparents, we always went to church. And I remember going to Christmas, church at Christmas and Easter every year. It was very important.
In Canton, North Carolina.
In Canton,
North Carolina. I was pastor there, First Baptist Church. You went to the Baptist Church, of course?
We went to the Methodist Church.
Well, everybody can't go to heaven. That's what we tell the Methodists. No. But then something happened in your life. Your folks, you said, were Easter and Christmas Christians.
Yes, I knew a lot about God and Jesus. I knew the story. But I didn't really know him as my personal Savior. And a babysitter, a high school girl, actually led me to Christ and shared that Jesus wanted to be my Lord and my Savior. Mm. And she took John 3:16, which was a verse I was familiar with, and she put my name in it and personalized it for me. And it helped me understand what that meant.
But a crisis in your family sort of awakened.
Yes, that's right. My brother was born 12 years after I was born. My mom struggled with infertility, and then my brother was born. And when he was a freshman in college, he was killed in a car accident. Mm. And prior to that, my parents had sort of had a crisis in their marriage, and they really had come back to the Lord and decided that they wanted to have a Christ-centered marriage. Mm. And so this crisis of my brother dying really drew them to the Lord. And as they grew closer to the Lord, they grew closer to one another. Mm. And they have a tremendous ministry wherever they've been, all over Georgia, and they're watching from Myrtle Beach right now. And just watching them invest in others and using that crisis as an opportunity to share God's love, it's been amazing.
And so many times a crisis, we either pull away from God and cry, well, what God did, what God allowed, or it draws us closer than ever before. And we realize how fragile this life is, but how important this life is to maximize it for God as he's called us. So a crisis can lead us to the mountain or keep us in the valley. And we're so thankful that God used that in your family.
No, these are touching stories, right? This is why we use the diagnostic. I want you to pay careful attention here. How often is Jesus mentioned? He's mentioned occasionally here. So then you have to ask that second question. Because these women are mentioning Jesus, they're mentioning God, that's a more generic kind of form, but they're mentioning Jesus, Christ. Is he the subject of the verbs? If you listened carefully to what she was saying was not untrue necessarily or wrong, but Jesus wasn't the subject of the verbs. This was not preaching, if it's preaching in this message, it was not the preaching of the Christ. It was still the preaching of the Christian. They drew closer to Christ. They accepted Christ as their personal Savior. See who the subject of the verb is? They are, not Jesus. That's why we use that three-part diagnostic, because it's easy to kind of get your vision blurred with mentions of Jesus, which is a good and necessary thing in Scripture, but to miss the fact that we're not talking about Jesus as much as we're talking about ourselves. So when we come back, we'll hear more of this message from Sunday at Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, titled Celebrating Moms. I didn't tell you that before, but if you didn't know it already, that's what they're doing on Sunday morning at Second Baptist in Houston, Texas, celebrating moms. And it's quite obvious that that's exactly what they're doing. Jesus, while he gets honorable mention here, he's almost as good as a mom. He's pretty much been given Sunday off down there. Ed Young Sr. is the pastor. We're reviewing this message, and we'll do more on the other side of the break. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/LCMSU.
I've seen G.I. Jane, and that's how I know that we're not the weaker vessel, because that lady was really tough. That is not the standard or the norm for any of us.
Because of the cross, there is intimacy between the believer and Christ, as rich as the intimacy between God the Father and God the Son.
He has not gone away. He is present for us in His body and blood, in holy baptism, in holy absolution, in the Bible, in the preaching of the church.
If my relationship with my wife was based only on the day we were married, and she asked me, "Why don't you ever say you love me?" And my response was, "I told you I loved you on the day that we were married, and if you want to hear me say it again, then that means that you didn't believe that I was sincere on the day that we were married." Well, that's not true.
An hour from now, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's a game we like to play with our listeners. It does require listener participation. You can even participate in advance by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the Listen on Demand page, you'll find those four soundbites. You can listen to them, and then you can vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Or you can wait until we start playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about an hour and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us your vote via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter @issuesetc. In the meantime, we're reviewing Sunday's message at Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, titled Celebrating Moms. Famous pastor there, Ed Young Sr. Second Baptist is the third largest megachurch in the United States. And on Mother's Day, they're just going to celebrate moms. Jesus might get honorable mention here. But for the most part, this is about the moms. They will talk a little bit about Jesus, but he is not going to be the subject of the verbs. He's just going to be kind of mixed in there to give this a Jesus-ish flavor. You would expect that. It's kind of common evangelical parlance to mix Jesus in to give it kind of a Christian-ish flavor. But this is not a message that is Christ-centered and cross-focused. It's mom-centered and mom-focused. And they admit it, celebrating moms. I hope you didn't hear anything like this in your church. If you did, you probably need to find a different church to go to. Here is another of the panelists that Ed Young has brought up, another mother who will be heard from here at Second Baptist.
Now, of all the mothers that we have here, everybody here has a mother. I don't want to shock anybody. We all have mothers or have had mothers. But Tony's mom is in another realm of motherhood. And as you hear about it, you'll say, I didn't believe it, but now I get it. Now, Tony, you were brought up, you had a brother and a sister. And as you were brought up, your mom was a pastor's wife, and y'all moved all over the country in churches. And in the process, though, your mom spent her time during those early formative years doing what with the kids?
She was such a selfless person. You know, she was just a servant. But when she married my dad, and my dad was going to seminary to be a pastor, he did not know what he was signing up for, really. He didn't. She is not your typical Baptist preacher's wife. And as you talked about, we were very strict, fundamentalist. You know, a lot of people say, we don't drink, don't smoke, don't go with boys that do. Well, we took it to a whole new level. We were so strict. We did not go to dances. We didn't go to movies. And so, you know, we really, as children.
Mixed bathing?
Oh, no, mixed bathing. People don't know what that is. Mixed bathing is when boys and girls do not swim together. Boys and girls don't swim together. That's just not appropriate. But, you know, as strict as they were as children, we just thought that was oppressive. If we'd have known about CPS, we'd have called CPS on our parents. Because, we just thought, we just can't have any fun at all, we would think. But the funny thing was, all of our friends wanted to be at our house. Mm-hmm. You know, all of our friends, all the neighborhood kids wanted to be with my mom. Because she was more fun than anyone else. And she would just do wild, crazy, fun things, and everybody just wanted to be around.
Even during those years, she was giving herself to your dad and to ministering to you kids. Now, once there was emptiness, she got rid of all of you. Your mother had a total change in interest, would you say?
Yes, I would say that. She
give us a little history there, yeah, Tony, of what happened to your mom. Now, the kids are gone. They're grown, college, et cetera. She went to Oklahoma State. Majored in international relations, by the way. Goodness, she majored in English and in theater at Hollins University in Virginia.
Who is the subject of the verbs here? I mean, we're hearing a lot of... It's an interesting story. I love to sit down and hear people's family stories. It's one of the things that I've always enjoyed about being a parish pastor is sitting down and hearing people's own stories. It's interesting to me. I'm a naturally curious kind of guy, probably why I do what I do. And I like to hear people's family stories and to hear their history and all those kinds of things. It's just one of the things that I find to be a compelling topic of conversation. So it's not like it's irrelevant to hear this kind of stuff. But this is, again, Sunday morning in the third largest megachurch in the United States. Probably because, just think about this, because it's Mother's Day, this church that pulls in 22,000 people a week probably has more than 22,000 people gathered for this message. What a missed opportunity. Ed Young decides to forego Christian preaching and just sit down on a couch with some of the mothers of the congregation and talk about their moms or them. Who is the subject of the verbs? They are, not Jesus. See how easily the devil is able to change the subject. All he's got to do on Sunday morning, that's all he's got to do on Sunday morning, is change the subject away from Jesus. He doesn't care what you talk about, as long as it's not Jesus, as long as it's not the cross, as it isn't law and gospel. He doesn't care what you talk about. You want to talk about moms? Go right ahead. And the devil, he finds your stories fascinating. He does. As long as it's not about Jesus. Now, I did ask this question before, and I still want an answer from you. Women, what is the appeal here of this kind of conversation? Let's sit down, Dr. Phil, kind of, and share our stories on Sunday morning. We're seeing it more and more in the big box church, where the pastor, who maybe when he started his ministry 25 years ago actually had something looking like, or maybe a see-through kind of pulpit, you know, the plexiglass pulpit. And then he kind of went past that. They went to something simpler, like a little music stand. And then eventually he decided the big trend, of course, back in the 80s was for the pastor just to kind of wander around like a circus clown in the main ring, wander around there talking conversationally. About 10 years ago, the fad was, well, we're going to make it look as much like Starbucks as we possibly can. So we got one of these tall Starbucks tables that barely has enough room to hold a dinner plate. And the pastor sits on a high stool next to it. Does your pastor do this? Yeah, he does. He got that from somebody. He got it from Starbucks. He didn't get it from anyone else. He's imitating other pastors who did it. That's where it wasn't his idea. Your pastor doesn't have any original ideas. And then, of course, it was probably Bill Hybels, right around the same time, who introduced this technique, the big couches. You know, you wonder whether or not they're going to the Trinity Broadcasting Network model, where eventually they're going to be sitting on these gilded couches with $1,000 worth of greenery around them or not. They probably won't go as gaudy, but eventually that's what you'll have to see here. Where does it go? What is the appeal of this kind of conversational Sunday morning, women? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. We're listening to a Mother's Day message that kind of tangentially involves Pastor Ed Young and some women from his congregation. They're celebrating moms.
Your kids were gone. Here's your mom. She's a preacher's kid, fundamentalist church. What happened to her then?
You know, all she had ever done is waited on my dad and us kids hand and foot. She was the most selfless person. She never bought anything for herself, never did anything for herself. But once we were all gone, she and my dad were kind of retired. I didn't tell the other part of the story. My nephews talked her into trying out for Survivor, the show on TV. She'd never seen it. She didn't watch TV. She didn't know what it was. But they told her it would be really fun. And she's a very competitive person. You know, even though she's very, you know, she is a Baptist pastor's wife. But
And
she is my size. She's a little bitty like me. And she started working out. She'd never been to a gym in her life. And she started working out, got in great shape. And she wasn't in bad shape before, but she'd never really worked out at a gym. And so now she...
But Survivor, she didn't make the Survivor?
No, she went through a number of levels. She made it through a number of levels. And I didn't know. She actually made it through the regional tryouts in Oklahoma. And then she came to Texas, to Austin or San Antonio, to get to regionals. And I said, and I didn't hear about it till after it was already over. I said, well, Mom, why didn't you tell me? She said, oh, they said we couldn't tell. And I was like, well, you could tell us. We're your family. And she said, oh, no, it's very, you know, secretive. So anyways, so she got through a few levels of it, you know. But then by this time, she's very into working out and all this. Meet some people at the gym that compete. And she's very competitive. So she started going to the Senior Olympics. And she didn't tell anybody at first. This is how she is. She didn't tell anybody because she didn't know how she would do. So she didn't want anybody to know if she wasn't going to do well. But she did. The first Senior Olympics she ever went to, and her events are like weightlifting. She can, no, seriously, she's my size. And she weighs 105, and she can leg press 425 pounds. That's four times her body weight. She is hysterical. And so she goes to the Senior Olympics the first time ever, doesn't tell anybody, and she wins four gold medals.
All right. We've heard an awful lot about her mom. She sounds like a remarkable woman, sounds like a very interesting woman indeed. Of course, as I said before, all the devil's got to do on Sunday mornings is change the subject from Jesus to this woman's mom. And guess what? His work is done. You've heard an interesting story. You've heard about a remarkable woman. You've celebrated motherhood, and Jesus has faded into the background. You are not necessary, Jesus, this Sunday. We have something more important to talk about. When we come back, we'll hear the conclusion of Ed Young's message on Mother's Day at Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. I will remind you, third largest church in the United States. We'll be right back.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Has your pastor promised that Christianity will improve your marriage, produce well-behaved children, and make your life happier? And have you failed to see these results? Visit a confessional Lutheran church this weekend where they won't promise your best life now. They'll give you something better, Jesus, every Sunday. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, the 15th of May, we were viewing a sermon of sorts from Ed Young Sr., kind of, on Mother's Day. He's kind of given the stage over to motherhood and to the mothers of his congregation. Hearing some interesting stories, but not much about Jesus, certainly not the cross. I can guarantee you we got a resource for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May called Ladylike Living Biblically that is exponentially more Christ-centered and cross-focused than the message you are hearing as we review this sermon. It is a book about motherhood, but it focuses on the saving work of Christ. It's about being a woman, focuses on Jesus. Jesus ends up being the subject of this book while it teaches biblically about the vocation of womanhood. It's called Ladylike Living Biblically. It is just $14.99, comes from Concordia Publishing House. You can pre-order 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month from A, Ladylike Living Biblically. Well, we'll cut to the chase here. The close of this Sunday morning message at the third largest megachurch in the United States, Second Baptist in Houston, Texas, Pastor Ed Young, after having given over the entire message to hearing about mothers and their mothers and the fascinating women there with very little about Jesus. Here is how the message concludes, a message called Celebrating Moms.
There's so much in the life of our church that we do not see. So many ministries that we do not fully comprehend. I am thankful and grateful that God has enabled all of us as a collective family of faith to love kids. We'd like to love them all individually. We'd like to be there, but we thank the Lord that we touch families in every walk of life, in every kind of relationship. And thanks to your faithfulness, our faithfulness in stewardship and what we do in loving kids, it's a tremendous thing to be a part of all of these families, some we'll never know, as they're bringing up these boys and girls to become teenagers and to become God-fearing men and women in the 21st century. I'm thrilled to be a part of a church that genuinely loves kids. Aren't you? And I wish I had more time to talk to these four ladies that are up here about their home life, because you see the results of their mothers in the lives of these that are here. And we're all a product of our mothers. And some of us had to come back from mothers that had a lot of flaws, and all mothers do. But we're thankful to be here and to recognize and to honor our mothers and to challenge our young mothers and those who are not mothers yet to make sure that in their lives there is a walk with God and a walk with Jesus Christ that is absolutely contagious in the family. You know what I continue to be amazed about? Godly children as a product of a godly home. That's how God has done it from time immemorial. And we want to be, as church and as families, as mothers, as grandmothers, as fathers, as grandfathers, as great-grandmothers, great-grandfathers, to continue that legacy. And where there's been gaps and flaws in our background, we try to fill those gaps with our lives and our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Without anybody moving, would everybody bow your head, please, right where you are? There are some here today. The Lord knows that you need to stand on this Mother's Day and say, I need Christ to have my life. All of my life, I come to Christ. I want to publicly put up my flag for Christ. Others here, the Lord knows, are today by divine appointment, and you need a church, a body of faith, where you can support and love and attend and pray and be challenged individually and make a difference wherever you're planted, wherever you're placed. And you need to come down this aisle and say, I want this church to be my church. I come as a Christian. Perhaps some have simply wandered off and got in a dark place, a lonely place, a place away from God and His family, the church. And they need to stand and say, I come to recommit my life on this Mother's Day as a teenager, as a single adult, a family. The many ways we make decisions in church, professing Christ publicly, coming as a Christian in the life of the church, or having a moment of beginning again with the Lord, it is our prayer that as He leads, you will stand and come and make a bold decision for Christ on this Mother's Day. Father, touch hearts that are here, beginning with all of us. We pray in Jesus' name.
So there we go. Jesus gets honorable mention. He's a footnote at the end for the altar call. And it all emphasizes in the end your decision. Your faithfulness, your family, your love for kids, your mother, your godly children, your godly home, none of that will save you. You need Jesus. Everybody needs a mom. I love moms. I love my own mom. Moms are a great idea, God's idea, by the way. But I can tell you one thing about every single mother, father, child in that church down there at Second Baptist. They're all sinners who need a Savior, and they didn't get him on Mother's Day. What did they get? They got Mom. Look, Mom's great, but she can't keep you out of hell. Mom's great, but she did not live, suffer, and die on the cross for you, much less rise from the dead for you. Mom is great. They're fantastic. I've had a wonderful mother my entire life. Same one my whole life. And she's been a saintly woman, a godly woman. Not good enough. That life, as godly as it was, wasn't good enough to be what I needed, a Savior, ultimately. The only life that counts for yours is the perfect life of Jesus Christ, lived for you, laid down for you, taken up again in his resurrection for you. Yes, even on Mother's Day, sinners still need Jesus. And look, I love moms, but Mom isn't good enough, even, especially on Mother's Day. When we come back, This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Rosebro of Fighting for the Faith.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.